We're going to get right into it on this episode of Believe in Titans with the usual lineup. Former Titans cornerback Denard Walker, John Glennon of the Nashville Post, and I am David Beauclair. And this is the first episode post Mike Vrabel. In case you were under a rock for the last day or two, Mike Vrabel has been fired. This is not a mutual parting of the ways. This is not this has not been characterized as anything other than the man who coached this team for the last 6 years, who went 54-45 in the regular season with a couple of playoff victories to boot. The man who won, led this team to 2 division titles, was NFL Coach of the Year. All of that has been fired, and the Titans are moving on. John Glennon, in a couple of years, does Amy Adams Strunk regret this decision, or does she look back and say it was the right move?
Well, I mean, I guess if Amy Adams Strunk makes a great hire, you know, she can say she made the right move. I personally think this was the wrong move. I think it goes back to, you know, what you touched on there when you were sort of introducing the Vrabel topic. I think that anyone who has shown kind of the sustained pattern of success that Mike Vrabel has deserves benefit of the doubt, deserves an opportunity to kind of work himself out from the difficulties he's had the last 2 years. And Mike Vrabel is a guy that has certainly shown a sustained pattern of success. In a lot of ways, you know, obviously it's very similar to John Robinson, and I'm probably in the minority, you know, but I felt that John Robinson's firing was the wrong move as well, based on a similar argument. You know, Mike Vrabel had 4 winning records, 3 playoffs, 2 AFC South titles, AFC championship game. As you mentioned, he was Coach of the Year just a couple years ago. When you have done that, I think, you know, the owner has to say, okay, yeah, we've had a couple of bad years, and they were bad years, 13-21 overall. They've struggled. But the owner, I think, has to say, I'm going to give you the opportunity to work your way back out of that. Because, in my opinion, the last 2 years have been caused more by injury and from poor roster construction than it has been from poor coaching. You know, I like the fact that players were still playing hard for Mike Vrabel. They liked playing for Mike Vrabel. So, you know, I think it was the wrong move. I would have stuck with Mike Vrabel, given him another year to work things out. I think he's still an excellent coach.
Here's my issue with it. And you know, we obviously have talked about this in recent weeks. It's not like this came completely out of nowhere. There has been seeds of discontent on one side or the other, or both, or however you want to characterize this. There was some level of discomfort that was obvious. But Amy Adams Strunk doesn't seem to know what she wants this team to be, or what, you know, and it's hard to get a feel for it because she won't put herself in front of the media and ask these questions. Now, you know, we've addressed this before. She's obviously uncomfortable doing so, and doesn't like doing that. So as a, and I guess from her perspective, it's maybe not wise sometimes to do that, because you can make matters worse. As what I guess the team sees as a compromise, she posted a short video interview with Mike Keith on the team's website and the socials. And, you know, and Mike Keith asked the question specifically. He said, can you tell us the reason or reasons that you decided to make this change? Which, of course, is one of the questions that needs to be asked. Now, she didn't really answer the question other than to say, it's just something that I felt like had to happen. And in that situation, then Mike Keith doesn't press her on it the way she would be pressed in a media conference kind of thing. So it's kind of left hanging in the air there. And nothing that she said had any sort of real meat to it, I thought, in terms of, you know, what she expects from this team, other than she says, well, we have really high expectations. Well, okay, so does everybody else in the NFL. But when, you know, if you talk about a Mike Vrabel, for example, Mike Vrabel will tell you what he thinks is winning football. And it's about the details. It's about playing hard to, or, you know, as he likes to say, play to the echo of the whistle, and you don't beat yourself, and you look at the things that this team accomplished under Mike Vrabel, right? They have a 5.45 winning percentage overall, which I mentioned at 54-45. He is the third winningest coach in franchise history, but his winning percentage in games decided by 7 points or fewer is even better at 56.9%, and his winning percentage in games decided by 3 points or fewer is even better than that at 18-13. It's a 58% winning percentage. So, you know, given the competitive nature of the NFL and how many games are close on a week-to-week basis, he had a formula. He had a proven track record that he can his teams can do what it takes to win games, and particularly these close games that make or break a team's season. And so now the question has to be asked, well, if Mike Vrabel's not the guy for you, what are you looking for? What do you expect? And she hasn't answered that question. Rand Carthen didn't answer that question. John, I know you were in attendance at Rand's press conference. What was sort of the feeling in the room there? I know as I watched it online, I was underwhelmed.
Absolutely underwhelmed. I thought it was 30 minutes of bland vanilla answers for the most part, deflecting responses. Nothing really. Again, nothing. No meat on the bone. Nothing you could say that was really significant. I thought the most significant part of that Rand Carthen presser was the very beginning when he at least addressed, the speculation and rumors that he and Mike Vrabel didn't have a good relationship. That was honest speech. We didn't get Mike Vrabel's side, but still we got Rand Carthen saying, "I've got a good relationship with Mike Vrabel personally, professionally. We never had any blowups. I want to dispel the thought that there's any friction between us in that regard." And from there, it went downhill. He is clearly a guy that likes to keep things close to the vest in terms of sharing with the media, which, as we know, is a conduit to the fans. So even the most simplest questions, such as what is the franchise's vision moving forward at this very vital time as you're looking for a new coach? Well, he couldn't answer that question. He said, "We've got that vision. There's a definition, but we're not going to give it to you now. We'll let you know after the head coach is hired." If I'm a fan out there, if I'm paying money for a season ticket holder, I would like to know what the franchise vision is moving forward. And then another simple question that he failed to answer was another simple one. It was, what characteristics do you want to see in a new head coach? Not saying whether do you want an offensive guy or defensive guy? Just simply, what characteristics do you like in a head coach? Well, we can't get into that right now. I'm gonna hold off on that. We'll let you basically said the same thing, sort of, we'll let you know the characteristics we want in a head coach after we hire the head coach. Well, thanks. That's gonna help everybody out, a whole bit at that point. So what I go back to, to try and figure things out again, I guess, the statement that she put out, that Amy Adams Strunk put out, is kind of the one thing that maybe gives me a little bit of clarity. And part of it, she said, "As the NFL continues to innovate and evolve, I believe the team's best position for sustained success will be those who empower an aligned and collaborative team across all functions." There we see that buzzword again that we saw all the time when it came to getting rid of John Robinson last year. That's collaboration. So as best I can tell, Amy Adams Strunk was maybe a little tired of Mike Vrabel being the guy that kind of sucked the oxygen out of the room for everybody else. And saying, "Hey, I'm willing to tolerate Mike Vrabel being that kind of guy when he is winning games. I'm not really going to tolerate it after 2 seasons of losing. I want I want a more collaborative team. That is apparently something Rand Carthen excels at. We'll see if that works for winning football with the decisions he makes and the team he gathers, in the coming weeks.
Take a quick pause here to note that we have lost Denard Walker. He is endeavoring to get back in here, and as soon as he does, if he does, we will include him in this conversation. But we will soldier on at this point, just the two of us. To that end, though, I wonder again. I wonder about Amy Adams-Strunk and what she's looking for, because it was just a couple of years ago when John Robinson sat at the scouting combine, and when was asked about the support that he had gotten from ownership and whatnot, he got emotional, and like it was clear these two had such a relationship, and then a short time later, boom, he is gone. And Mike Vrabel seemed to be the greatest thing on earth in Amy Adams-Strunk's mind, and just like that, he's gone. It almost puts me of a mind in this franchise history of Bum Phillips. Bum Phillips was a beloved coach in Houston for, oh, by the way, 6 years, who and he didn't even have the losing seasons. He got fired after an 11-5 and a playoff meltdown. Amy Adams-Strunk's father, Bud Adams, kind of lost his mind and fired Bum Phillips, and that sent the franchise into a tailspin, where they went through three coaches and no playoff appearances or winning seasons over the next 6 years, and you worry that's where this team might be headed right now, because the reaction around the league was pretty stirring. I thought one of the most interesting pieces I read was Charles Robinson on Yahoo Sports, who has been long time connected to league executives. He ran down some of the interactions he had with people around the league, one of whom said simply, "You're shitting me," at the news that Vrabel had been fired. Another who told him, "Unbelievable, the guy's a phenomenal coach. What a crazy business. He will have a job in 5 seconds." Big mistake on their part. And then another person who said, "The Titans just got a lot worse, and a few of those coaching searches just got a lot easier." So, the reputation is certainly well established, and it feels like this is a big gamble. And as Denard Walker is back in here with us now, Denard, we'll just ask you what kind of we've been talking about here. In the next couple of years, will Amy Adams-Strunk regret this move, or is she more likely to say, "No, look, I did the right thing"?
Not if the coach they bring in, if he's winning, then it's a great decision. Because, in the NFL, David, it's all about production and it's about winning. That's all that matters. And coaches will tell you that. And whoever they bring in, whatever coach comes in, it's all going to be about, it's going to be about the wins and the loss columns. That's just the way it works. Nobody cares about your past in this game. It's only your present that matters.
We talked about the possibility of this last week. How likely did it seem to you, or were you shocked by the news Tuesday that this had actually happened?
I'm not shocked at all. I'm not shocked. I mean, we kind of saw it coming. I mean, the last 2 seasons, this is a team that they haven't been very productive on the field. You've looked at last year, 7-9, is that right? And then they had a chance to win at the last game in Jacksonville. Unfortunately, they was down, what, three quarterbacks that they used last year?
That's right.
And you look at this year, I mean, what is it, 6-11?
Yes.
And you're talking about, and really they played their best game Sunday, or at least for 3 quarters. So they've been kind of, it's not been a good thing for the last 2 years for the Titans organization. So when, and I actually was reading something, David, and she said, listen, she didn't make her decision overnight. She's been based her decision on really the last 2 years. So I kind of saw it coming after reading her, reading a couple of articles from her.
I'll say this though, like every team is, the NFL is designed, right, to make sure nobody sort of has a Patriots like run, if you can all if you can help it, or what the Chiefs are doing right now. You know, you're supposed to go through ebbs and flows, and certainly this franchise did it with Jeff Fisher. When you look at some leaner years, like in 2004, 2005, say, and then they come back. 2007, they make the playoffs. 2008, they are the best team in the NFL during the regular season at 13-3, with, oh, by the way, a terrific offensive line that year. And you know, this season to me felt similar to some of those lean years. I mean, there's a lot of coaches for whom players on a team playing out the string would not be the better team against Jacksonville from start to finish of that game, the way the Titans were on Sunday in that 28-20 win. There's not a lot of teams that would have come back from 14 down on the road against Miami with 3 minutes to play. You know, this is not a case clearly where Mike Vrabel had lost the room in any way, shape, or form. It does feel like a risk, but you know, let's give Amy Adams Strunk credit. In 2018, or following the 2017 season, she listened to John Robinson, fired Mike Mularkey, who had had two winning seasons, one playoff appearance, one playoff win. Seemed to, you know, after some terrible years with Ken Whisenhunt, seemed like he had this team moving in a really good direction. I think you could say she made the right move then in hiring Mike Vrabel. Now she's going to have to do it again, and I think it's going to be she's created a harder act to follow in this case. John, we've seen some names already reported that the Titans are interested in interviewing, among them Bengals offensive coordinator Brian Callahan, Raiders head coach, interim head coach Antonio Pierce, Aaron Glenn, the Lions defensive coordinator, Cowboys defensive coordinator Dan Quinn, Giants offensive coordinator Mike Kafka, Ravens defensive coordinator Mike McDonald. I mean, clearly they're moving quickly, and Amy Adams Strunk had suggested that, you know, that was part of her thinking. She wanted to move quickly in this. Anybody in that initial group here who jumps out to you as somebody who might be a good fit here?
I think there are a few, and I should add to that list. Just recently, it was reported that Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson. There's also a request out to interview him. He is one of the hottest candidates out there for sure. I think Ben Johnson is maybe top of the list. You know, to me, I think, and I know Amy Adams Strunk said she was going to keep an open mind. You know, it's not necessarily going to be an offensive-minded guy that takes over here, but I think logic sort of dictates it that way. You know, you bring in an offensive-minded guy, you've got a young quarterback who needs molding. You need an offensive line that needs massive retooling. You've got an offense that was terrible, you know, near the bottom of the league for two straight years. So I think the more minds you get in there to retool this offense, if you can get a guy who's been an OC and he brings in another guy too, the more the better as far as offense goes. So I think Ben Johnson, you know, when you look at what the Lions offense has done the last 2 years under him, this year, third in total offense, second in pass, fifth in the run. In 2022, they had 4,000 passing yards, 1,000 running yards, first time in franchise history. I think he would be a guy that I'd really take a long look at. Brian Callahan has been the Bengals OC for 5 years. Obviously done great work with Joe Burrow. They were top 10 points, 21-22 before Burrow got hurt this year. Brian Callahan actually interviewed for the Titans offensive coordinator back when Mike Vrabel first came here, and gave the job to Matt LaFleur. So a little small connection there, perhaps with the owner who got to know him. So I think he would be a good one. Mike Kafka is an odd name. You know, Titans fans aren't too impressed by it, but they probably should be. You think New York Giants offensive coordinator, you think what? You know, the Giants were terrible this year, but he was very good in his first year there, 2022. Giants actually won a playoff game behind Daniel Jones. And but his background is what's even maybe even more impressive. He was the Chiefs quarterback's coach for I think 3 or 4 years, passing game coordinator there for a year or two. Did great work there. And the last guy maybe that I like a lot that is on the list right now, Mike McDonald. If I have to get one defensive guy, the Ravens defensive coordinator for the last couple of years, they've been a top 10 defense. Year before that, he was Michigan's defensive coordinator. They were number three defense in the country. He's a young guy, so he's interesting too. He would have to bring in a very good offensive coordinator, obviously, to turn things around here. Those names of the ones so far we've seen reported as candidates, those were the ones that struck me.
Denard, we talked earlier about the fact that Rand Carthen on Tuesday went out of his way to not set any parameters in terms of, what characteristics or what sort of background they might be looking for in this search. As you look at it, what attributes does this team need in its next head coach? And does anybody among these early list of interviewees jump out at you as maybe that guy?
I live down here in Dallas, David, and there's nothing big or bigger going on other than the Cowboys. But when you look at this Cowboys team, that defense that they're putting up, they put on the field this year, they've been amazing. And their defensive coordinator, I'm a big fan of his, and that is Dan Quinn. I think he's one of the best defensive mind coaches in the business. And what was interesting, I read a report that Jerry Jones has adjusted his contract. But what happened, excuse me, what's happening is that Dan Quinn openly admitted that he's ready to be a head coach again. So I just love that name. And when you I had a chance to listen to Mrs. Stronker, a little interview, and what was amazing, she says she's not looking for a certain type. A lot of these teams are going towards the Mike McDaniels, the Kyle Shanahan, these young coaches, very vibrant, vibrant, energetic, creative. But if you look at it, she says she was looking for diversity. She was looking for something different. Who's going to have, a little bit, they're going to bring something to the table that fits this organization. And so when I thought about Dan Quinn, I mean, you look at the secondary, the way that they played this past year. They've been kind of awful the last few years. And you look at Dan Quinn's specialty. Let's not forget, David, when he was the defensive coordinator in 2013 and 2014 in Seattle, he had a bunch of guys called the Legion of Boom, Sherman, Cam Chancellor. They had a chance to win two Super Bowls back to back. Unfortunately, the offensive coordinator got too creative. But I mean, again, he's ready. He understands. The first time around in Atlanta didn't go well, but let's not forget he did take that team in 2016. It was only a couple plays away from winning a Super Bowl against New England.
Yeah, that's right. They had the big halftime lead, a team with a guy, I guess, with a lot of experience as a head coach. Mike Vrabel certainly had none. That doesn't seem to be, neither here nor there in terms of where her preference might lie for that. The one guy, John, you mentioned Brian Callahan and the work he's done in Cincinnati. I'll say this: I'm always skeptical of offensive coordinators who have great quarterbacks, because I think great quarterbacks can make anybody look good. I call it the Adam Gase effect. Like Adam Gase got head coaching interest and eventually a job or two because he was Peyton Manning's offensive coordinator in his years in De his first couple of years in Denver. Like, what was Adam Gase teaching Peyton Manning about offense at that point, right? Like what did anybody think that this guy's doing so revolutionary that, oh, look how good Peyton Manning is playing, right? I mean, Joe Burrow's going to be a great quarterback whoever his coordinator is. So I'd be a little leery about that. I think the Antonio Pierce thing is interesting. I think the feeling is likely that he's going to remain with the Raiders, but it certainly suggests, if he's willing to come here and interview, that he's not convinced that he's going to get that job, and he's either legitimately pursuing other options or trying to put pressure on Raiders owner Mark Davis to give him that position. Pierce seems to me like a guy who would be very much in the Mike Vrabel vein. If you're looking for some measure of continuity with a change, I think Antonio Pierce is your guy, a guy who was a really good, really accomplished player. Doesn't have a huge coaching history at this point, but even when he was a player, was regarded as kind of a coach on the field, that sort of thing. A guy that players seem like they're ready to run through the proverbial wall for. He's really interesting to me. We'll see how quickly this thing goes, and how it plays out. Certainly, big changes coming. It is interesting to note too. It seems that right now that nobody on the current staff, no Shane Bowen, no Terrell Williams, who of course got the one game assignment in the preseason. They're definitely looking for fresh ideas and input to take over this team going forward, and not just small changes, I think.
David,
Yes.
can I ask John a question? There was a name that surfaced, and I kept thinking, and I was thinking about this earlier, and I want you to answer this for me. How about Arthur Smith? You're talking about familiarity with this program with Mrs. Strunk, and you're talking about what he put back in 2019 when he took over from Matt LaFleur, that offensive coordinator role. You don't think that Arthur Smith would come to Tennessee?
I don't think so. I just think the simple reason, I think it would be a tough sell right now. Arthur Smith kind of got his chance as a head coach, and it didn't go well. I mean, it wasn't awful. And Arthur Smith was always kind of hamstrung by the fact that he didn't have the franchise quarterback there. Matt Ryan was at the end of the line. Marcus Mariota was not the answer. Desmond Ridder has not proven the answer. But I just don't think, I think maybe if anything, one tidbit Rand Carthen did mention yesterday was that fans enjoy seeing the team score all the points and so forth. So maybe the Titans are angling slightly away from kind of the style that they've had under a Mike Vrabel, which included the Arthur Smith kind of style of offense. So I think Arthur Smith will obviously coach again, and I think he'll be a great offensive coordinator, but I think he'd be a tough sell right now as head coach coming off three losing records.
And I think too, if maybe if John Robinson was still the GM, or if one of his guys, say Ryan Cowden, had gotten the job as his replacement, then maybe. But Rand Carthen's, he doesn't have a relationship with Arthur Smith. I think it's I think that works against him too. I think the expectation is, wherever Mike Vrabel goes, Arthur Smith is going to be his offensive coordinator, which brings me to my next question. As we're recording this, there are six other head coaching jobs open. The New England Patriots are not one of them, but there's still, I don't think, any clarity about Bill Belichick's future. So if we're looking at this, John, do you expect Mike Vrabel to be coaching again this season? And where do you think is his most likely destination right now?
I do. I expect him to be coaching, with so many openings, and with the fact that he had a proven track record, even though the last 2 years didn't go well. I think he will be coaching again soon. And I find it hard not to think he will be in New England. Now, obviously, Bill Belichick is still there, and the reports that we've gotten this week have kind of been to the effect that he's having ongoing conversations with Bob Kraft there, and we'll see how all this goes. But my guess is that those conversations are going to be sped up a little bit right now, because Mike Vrabel is available, and I think Robert Kraft is going to hire Mike Vrabel after he dispatches with Bill Belichick. We all saw what a chummy scene it was earlier this season when Mike Vrabel went up to be inducted into the Patriots Hall of Fame up there and spent the day in his nice red blazer and shared time in the suite with Robert Kraft. And I think clearly Mike Vrabel has a very, very deep connection to the organization. I think Robert Kraft is a big fan of Mike Vrabel's. That's where I think he ends up.
Denard, what about you? Do you see New England as the logical landing spot, or can you see him somewhere else?
It's New England, and I think it'd be a great fit for him up in New England. So I was thinking earlier, God, what a coincidence. It's time for the 71-year-old Bill Belichick to go ahead and hang it up. If Nick Saban can put it down, I think Bill Belichick can go ahead and put it down as well.
That wouldn't that be something if Saban and Belichick are both out within days or hours of one another? The only thing I would say to that is I never got the sense that Mike Vrabel would be interested in sort of continuing what Bill Belichick built there in New England. I always got the sense that Vrabel wanted to sort of create his own legacy, and it's obviously not going to happen here in Tennessee now. But I also think the way this thing has played out this week might open his eyes to the fact that ownership and clarity of vision and all that other stuff is critically important to your chances to succeed, and he knows all that stuff is in place in New England, and that probably that job does look a little more appealing to him right now. It certainly it none of the other jobs I would say look, where you say, oh yeah, Mike Vrabel has to have that one. The only thing I could think is maybe if he's angry and a little bit bitter about the way this thing played out, maybe he sits out a year, makes them pay him for doing nothing, and then sees what opens up a year from now, and takes a and maybe he even gets some, if maybe Belichick wants one more year to try and turn the Patriots around, and Robert Kraft asks him, hey, just sit out, take your time, and we'll see how it goes. But as we come to the end of this thing, we shouldn't completely ignore Sunday's victory over Jacksonville. Derrick Henry had his best game of the year. Ryan Tannehill goes out with one last performance, one last win. DeAndre Hopkins hits a couple of contractual milestones that got him an extra $500,000. Denard, does that make guys feel better going into the off season, or is 6-11 6-11 no matter how you slice it?
It's 6-11, no matter how you slice it. But you know what? I was proud of this team, David, because they went out there and competed. Most teams, when they have nothing to play for, I've watched a lot of teams quit, and there was no quit in this team. What was kind of crazy is that, and this could just be me, but offensively, that was the best that I've seen this team other than the Atlanta game. I mean, how they started and well into the third quarter when they came out in the third quarter. Remember, I talked about how you start the third quarter is how you usually finish a game. I mean, 28 points in the first three quarters. I mean, when the last time we seen that? It was the Atlanta game.
Yeah, and it was we've beat on the offensive line all year here. Give those guys credit. They blocked well. They Derrick Henry had holes to run through. They were in favorable down and distance situations most of the day. It sort of left you with the sense of, well, what if, if these guys can be that good on that particular day against an opponent that had so much to play for, why couldn't they have been better, if not that good, at least better for much of the year, and what could have happened? And John, Derrick Henry addressed the crowd briefly on his way off the field. You get this, you get any sense that there's a chance he comes back, or does he know? I mean, Ryan Tannehill certainly said this was my last game here. I knew exactly. Derrick Henry wasn't as definitive, but you think his actions speak loudly in that regard?
I think so. I think if you watched his little time with the media there afterwards as well, Derrick Henry went through a list of banks that would have impressed anyone at the Oscars or the Academy Awards. He thanked virtually everyone in the Titans organization, literally to the extent that he thanked a guy named Bob for getting him the avocados for his toast on a regular basis. So Bob got a shout out there. Yeah, it certainly had the look and feel of a finale. You know, one of the things that Derrick Henry said was that, you know, I want a Super Bowl ring. You know, I'm 30. This is my 8th year in the league. I want a ring more than anything. Let's be honest, Titans aren't on the verge of getting a Super Bowl right now. So one part of Derrick Henry, I think, would certainly love to come back to Nashville. He's always loved it here. The other part, you know, probably says, I got to make a business decision and find a better team. And Rand Carthen said yesterday, door is never closed. He had a conversation with Derrick Henry, said it went well. So it's not completely out of the realm of possibility, but I think it's doubtful that Derrick Henry is back.
Yeah, to your point, it certainly felt like a finale on several fronts Sunday. As it turned out, it was Mike Vrabel's finale as well. So the 2023 season is now complete, and it will close a chapter for this franchise, which will undoubtedly, and this team will undoubtedly look dramatically different in 2024. We will be back next week to update and address what takes place in the coaching search over the next 7 days. Until then, Denard, thanks as always.
You.
Thank you, John.
All right, thanks, guys.
And thank you all for listening, as always, to Believe in Titans.